So last Friday, we had a module teaching called Spiritual Warfare, Tactics versus Strategies. So as I was putting together today's teaching, I thought maybe the Lord was saying this is part two. But since I wasn't sure and since it didn't seem to make sense to me that it's part two, I didn't put part two in the outline. But, however, it is part two. So this is Spiritual Warfare, part two, an overall strategy for success. An overall strategy for success. Now, as we looked at the difference between tactics and strategies last week, we see that a strategic approach is one that has a plan that is geared towards winning the war, and tactics are more situational and are more geared towards winning the battle. So tactics are what Christians would do if they know enough of the word that when they are challenged, they know how to respond and beat back the challenge. So if you know enough of the word, that a challenge of a pain comes upon you or an infirmity in the body, if you have enough knowledge of the word, you use the word to overcome the challenge, and that's a tactical approach. And many times, tactical approaches are passive and reactionary. People sit around and wait until the devil takes a swing and they respond back to it. But tactics can be used in an offensive manner without waiting for the devil to attack. So what we call maintenance affirmations would be an active tactic. That is, before, while you're in health, feeling good, you could do affirmations such as, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You take the sword of the Spirit and stick the devil. So if a demon comes around thinking, here's a subject that I'm going to gobble up really easy with some fiery darts, he gets stuck in the eye before he does anything and probably will leave right away. So it's a maintenance plan. That's one approach to an active way, a proactive way of using a tactical approach. Now, a strategic approach is planning your life with the Word of God so you bypass these challenges. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, pray that God will lead you not into temptation, but deliver you from evil. He's not saying that the option is that God leads you into temptation. He's saying that if you pray, God can lead you so where there's no temptation. That's a strategic approach. We pray so God leads us. And so our lives miss most of the challenges. I remember Kenneth Copeland saying 20 years ago, he says, I don't read the newspaper. I'll watch the news on TV. He said, you'd be surprised how many crises I've missed by not reading the newspaper and watching the news. It's true. So when you're positioned in God, you can go through a lot of crises without even knowing the crises are there. So tonight we want to look at a strategic approach to success. That is not waiting for challenges to come, not reacting to the challenges, but being proactively picking a route that leads you not into temptation, a route that moves you towards success. And of course, we're going to do it based on what the Bible says. In this strategic plan for success, we have seven steps in the plan. And the seven steps are knowledge, hearing, faith. Those are the first three. Knowledge, hearing, faith. The last four are grace, success, ongoing success, and peak success, or maximum success. So the last three all have success in the name. Success, ongoing success, and peak success. So not only are you successful, it's ongoing, and it's rising up to a peak. Last three. The first four are knowledge, hearing, faith, and grace. Knowledge, hearing, faith, and grace. So we're going to start with knowledge. Why knowledge? It came to me, actually, very late in my Christian walk with God, that no place in the Bible does it say, my people perish, are destroyed for lack of faith. Okay? We're not destroyed for lack of faith. It does say that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is a necessary condition to receive from God. So faith is a necessary condition, but not the only condition. But guess what? God has put into all of our hearts the measure of faith. We've been given the measure of faith. Understand that? We got it. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Well, the first thing we should do with what we've been given is seek knowledge. Why? Because the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4, verse 6. I remember many years ago, a young lady came here, and she heard me say that you're responsible for what you hear. To him, to her, who much is given, much is required, much is expected. So you're responsible for what you hear. If you hear the word of God, you're not responsible for it. So she did not want to be responsible for it, so she never came back to ABC. It's the wrong approach. Because what she did not know, what she didn't hear me say, what she did not know the Bible says is, you may be responsible for what you hear, but what you don't hear, that lack of knowledge will destroy you. And today her life is pretty much destroyed. Very much destroyed. So yes, it is true that a walk with God is a walk of responsibility. We don't cast all the problems upon God and all the cares upon Him without us doing something. Yes, it says, cast all your cares on me. But when you cast all your cares on me, we still have to do something. We have to keep our eyes on Him and let the peace of God keep our hearts and mind. Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious, be worried, be fearful about nothing. But in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. In other words, you're casting all your cares upon Him by asking Him. So we cast our cares upon Him by asking Him to solve them. And then once we ask, we believe we receive. And so it goes on to say, and the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind. So yes, God says, cast all your cares upon me. But when you cast your cares upon me, know that I've got them. So you don't take it back. And the only way you won't take it back is if you choose to walk in that faith of believing that God has answered your prayers and keeping your eyes fixed upon Him so the peace of God keeps your heart and your mind. So Hosea 4, 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It goes on to say, because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. God is saying, because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. As we go through these steps for success, you'll see why that is true. God cannot break His word. And for God not to reject you when you've rejected knowledge, He would have to break His word. So understand this. Wherever we are, there's a certain amount of knowledge you've learned. And in learning that knowledge, we need to do our best to act on it. But then we also need to take another step closer to God. And that step of drawing closer to God is a step of gaining further knowledge. We can never say we have arrived. We don't want to learn any more about God. Once you do that, you're headed for a serious downfall in a pretty short time. Believers can never say, I've got there. The Christian walk is like driving a car up a hill with no brakes. As long as you're going up with your foot on the gas, no problem. But if you have no brakes and you try to stop the car on a hill, you're going to have a serious problem. That's the Christian walk. You're either moving towards God or you're backsliding. James 4 verse 8 says, if you take a step towards me, I'll take a step towards you. We draw closer to God, step by step. So that's the first knowledge we need to know. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we have this awe of God, this reverential respect of God, a holy fear of God, then it moves us towards gaining knowledge about God. But so many people, so many believers understand that God is their Father, they're children of God, and they seem to have lost their awe of God, their respect of God, and their reverential fear of God. And when that happens, they start to lose knowledge. Because as they lose the fear of the Lord, they lose the hunger and thirst for righteousness and for truth. And they stop seeking knowledge. And Proverbs 1 verse 7 goes on to say, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, I don't want to be a fool, and I know nobody listening to me wants to be a fool, which means we should look for wisdom and instruction. And Jesus is our wisdom. The more we learn about Jesus, is the more we walk in the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 2. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Turn at my correction. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make known my words unto you. And I'm jumping down to Proverbs 1:28. Okay? So Proverbs 1:22 starts off with wisdom speaking. And wisdom says, how long, you simple one, will you love simplicity? Turn up my reproof at the reproof of wisdom. Proverbs 1:28, same chapter. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Reminds me of a testimony many years ago, perhaps 20 years ago, maybe a bit longer. I was asked by somebody I know very well to go pray for one of their best friends, son. Son was about 8 years old, and the doctors had said he was going to die over some period of time. And of course, everybody was very distraught, so I went, and I'm trying to decide how to do this. And you understand that when you pray for a child, the parents have to get involved with it. Like when you bring a child to church for dedication, a baby dedication, the parents have to be involved with it. I mean, the parents have to commit to raise up the child in the nurture of the Lord. So that's kind of what I was grappling with. I had every confidence that this young boy could be healed. The question was, what about the parents? And so what I decided to do is minister Proverbs 1 to the parents. And not reading all of Proverbs 1 because it's really very heavy. What you're going to see here is heavy enough. So Proverbs 1:28. Then they shall call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my correction, my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And what's the simple? Somebody's not seeking God's word. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. I remember a survey that was done some years ago. They did a study of lottery winners who had won more than $1 million. And they found that within 3 years of winning $1 million in the lottery, all the people were either broke, divorced, or dead. Broke, divorced, or dead. Within 3 years of winning more than $1 million in the lottery. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Remember, fool is a person who has turned his back on the knowledge of the Lord, the word of God. But whosoever listens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. What a powerful thing. God is saying, if you listen to me, if you seek my knowledge, then you shall dwell quietly from the fear of evil. Flip it the other way around. If you are concerned about evil all the time, if you're walking in fear about what's going to happen to the economy, what about the measles epidemic? What about the fact that the flu shots were the wrong flu shots? You know, what about these terrorists that are trying to blow up the place and all the terrorists that are coming back to the United States and these things flying over your head and all these things that goes on and on? If you have that fear, then you're not seeking God enough. You're not seeking his knowledge enough. Whosoever shall listen to me shall dwell safely. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you will I trust. And it goes on to say, no evil shall befall you, and no plague come near your dwelling place. When we do it God's way. No, we seek knowledge. And how do we get knowledge of God's word? Well, we all went through that. We all at some point had somebody tell us the gospel. For the knowledge comes through the gospel. And so the knowledge comes through usually a preacher or a teacher, or hearing a CD or a tape, looking at a video, somebody is speaking or you're reading, and that's where the knowledge comes. So Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's so powerful and important. It goes on to say, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. Just absolutely wonderful. And you can be that person with the beautiful feet on the mountain by just telling your neighbors that Jesus loves them. That in Jesus, they don't need to be afraid of any evil. So, this knowledge comes through hearing. So step number one is seek knowledge, and it comes through hearing. So many people today, 100% of the movies that I see, Christian movies, 100% of the Christian movies that I see, 100% of the great men that I hear on TV, not the one that I'm going to find and listen to myself, but just the one I arbitrarily hear on TV or surplus, happen to run into them and listen to them. They seem not to be able to verbalize or understand some of the fundamental problems we have in the world. I've seen some really good Christian movies. And almost all of them, somebody will say, why are these terrible things happening? If God is so good, why does he allow babies to die? Why does he allow Ebola? All these places, I keep hearing this. And not once have I heard anybody in a movie or accidentally on television or radio explain why. Now, I know that people that were teaching it, those are the ones that you and I would probably go to listen to and from whom we would learn. But just an arbitrary turning on the radio and up comes the preacher. And in all the time I've been a believer, I have never heard anybody quote 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. I have never heard it. I'm not saying they're not doing it. I'm just saying I never heard it. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. I remember a long time ago. Wow, I hate to say it, but it might have been like 50 years ago. Whoa, that sounds like a long time. Hard to be 50 years ago when you're only 35. But somehow, like 50 years ago, there was a man, that a friend of mine, that was dying. It was like a mentor to me. And he was dying. You know, he said to me, you know, he was Jewish. He said, you know, I've become a Christian. If anybody could have explained to me, he says, my life, I've been asking people, nobody has been able to explain two things to me. One is, why would God allow his son to suffer and die like that? And the second one was, how can all these terrible things happen when we have a good God? Well, you know, he was asking the wrong person. I didn't have the answers 50 years ago. I mean, I was in the same boat as he was. And so this man that I loved and respected died. Well, at the point in time when I spoke to him, he wasn't far from death. And at that point in time, he didn't have the answers. You know, by faith, we can believe, you know, that somehow in that interim, he got the answers. Somehow in that interim, he accepted Jesus. But surely near death, he did not have the answers. And I couldn't help him. But the answers are really so easy, so obvious in the scriptures. And it all comes with the knowledge. The knowledge that 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, Satan is the god of this world. Yes, he's a defeated god, but his defeat is only obvious to and manifested in those believers who are seeking more knowledge and hearing more knowledge. So faith comes by hearing. We seek knowledge, we hear the word of God spoken, and that word of God generates faith in us. The faith that God gave us, that measure of faith, is then focused on the new knowledge, on the new promises of God. The knowledge that we seek sets up a boundary, defines an area. It's only within the area of the knowledge that we have that we can have faith for the promise of God. You can't have faith to believe to receive something you never heard about. And you can't have faith to receive something that you don't believe in. So there are a lot of churches that don't believe in the rapture. So they can't have faith for it because they don't believe in it. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Just a little food for thought for you. Okay? So we seek knowledge. First step in success is seeking knowledge. And we seek that knowledge by hearing more and more the Word of God. But the third step is then take your faith and release it by believing the promises in the area of that knowledge. And you release your faith for what you've heard by acting on it. You speak it and you do it. That's how you release your faith. That's why Jesus says that if you hear my word and do it, then your house you're building, your life won't fall to the floods. But if you hear my word and don't do it, it says in Matthew 7, if you hear my words and don't do it, then when the floods come, didn't say if, says when the storms come, then your house will fall. That goes right back to where God says, because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you. It's exactly what Jesus is saying. If you hear the word of God, if you hear the word of God and don't act on it, then you've rejected knowledge. If you don't hear the word of God, you have not found knowledge. And if you didn't hear it because you weren't seeking it, then you've also rejected it. But if you're seeking, you hear it, and you don't act on it, or you reject it, then God says you're going to be rejected. And Jesus says what will happen is when the storms come, you're on your own. Now, the reason why it works this way is the following. What you and I need, what we don't deserve, but what you and I want, what you and I need, is God's grace. God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a wonderful acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God helping you and me when we don't deserve it. And the point of fact is, we never deserve it. The first time we sinned, what we earned was the wages of sin, which is death. That's what happened to Adam. And to every person before Jesus came. They sin, they die. With the exception of Enoch, who walked with God, and God took him, and Elijah, who went up in a chariot of fire. And Abraham is in a special case because his faith was so great, it was imputed unto him, given unto him, given credit for righteousness. But for everybody else, when they sinned, they moved on to death row. They were condemned to die, and eventually they died. But with you and me, Jesus took all that so we don't have to pay the price. Our sins have been paid for. They're gone. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the effects of the sins are also gone. If there are no sins, there are no wages of sin. If there are no wages of sin, there's no death. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. We shall not all die. Why? Because the wages of sins have been paid for. We're not on death row. But we need the knowledge to understand that the Word of God says in Romans 8:2, for example, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So this seven steps towards success are seven steps that can move you towards being alive and remaining when Jesus returns. It's seven steps to have you walking in eternal life today, because your eternal life has been paid for. So grace is God's help when we don't deserve it. That's what we all want. And grace came into the world with Jesus. We're now living under grace. Generally, it's taught that the age of grace and the church age are synonymous. But that's not true. The church age is the age that we're in, which lasts as long as the church is on the earth. But the age of grace will end when every person is either born again or is accepted the devil, taking the mark of the beast. When it comes to the point where every person is either saved or going to hell because they've taken the mark of the beast, then the age of grace will come to an end. And you can see an example of that in Revelation 11, where they're trying to stop God's two prophets, and fire comes out and destroys them, just as it did in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was not under grace. And again, we see in Revelation 11, the time will come when they'll be out of grace. In fact, if you go on to Revelation 19, you see all the people they are killed. All the enemy of God, Jesus is there, and the armies of heaven are with him, and they kill all the enemies. That is not grace. That is justice. So what we need today, that we're under grace, is God's help when we don't deserve it, which is grace. So how do we get more grace? Well, when you understand how we get more grace, you'd understand why God rejects you if you don't seek knowledge. Because 2 Peter 1 verse 2 says, grace and peace are multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So you get more grace, you get more of God's help when you don't deserve it, when you learn more about God and Jesus Christ. I mean, before I was saved, as my first mentor, Bishop Rowe, would say, he adopted me spiritually. He said, my adopted son here was going to hell in fine style. And I really was going to hell in fine style. I had no interest in God. I was having a ball going to hell and did not know it. But God's grace came into my life because the people were praying for me. And I got saved. And I totally changed my direction in my life. I learned about salvation. And I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and His grace came into my life and changed my life. So grace and peace are multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now here's a great piece of knowledge. Everything you need for life and godliness, everything you need to be successful today and tomorrow already belongs to you. Jesus paid the price for you to walk in it. But so many of the people of God have been approaching life in a tactical manner. You know, here's the way the world does it. They have a lifestyle and they're more or less enjoying it. They're coping. Some of them are enjoying it more, some are enjoying it less. They're more or less in their lifestyle. And they're plugging away until a challenge comes. Let's say a challenge of sickness. Then they run off to the doctor. And what they want the doctor to do is fix the problem as fast as you can, as cheaply as you can, and send them back out to the same lifestyle they had before. Isn't that true? They don't go to the doctor to have their lifestyle change. They don't want their lifestyle change. When we are reacting passively in a tactical manner, that's exactly what we're doing. The only difference between us and the people of the world is they run to a man or a woman who's a doctor, and we run to Dr. Rafa. In other words, we have a lifestyle, we're pretty comfortable, we get challenged, so we run to God, run to Jesus and say, you are my healer. It's time for healing. Then we get our healing and we go back to the lifestyle we had before. It's very easy to fall in that mold. But what God is saying is if you make knowledge your goal, knowledge of God and Jesus your goal, if you make hearing the word of God and doing it your goal, and release your faith by doing it, speaking and doing it, then more grace will come to you. And you will live every day in the blessings that has already been paid for you. Blessings of finances, blessings of protection, blessings of health. Whatever you need has already been paid for. According as His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. God has called us to glory and virtue, to power and holiness, through the knowledge of Him. It all comes through the knowledge of Him. So the steps are knowledge, knowledge of God. Hear about God. Act in it. and release your faith by speaking and doing it. Then comes the grace. Then comes the blessing. Joshua 1 verse 8 puts it this way. In terms of the success, doing all that produces success. And Joshua 1 verse 8 summarizes it this way. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Notice, out of your mouth. Why out of your mouth? Because you see, all our sins have been paid for. All the wages of our sins have been paid for. We are the righteousness of God. Our sins have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. We can live free of sin, free of the effects of sin, which include poverty, sickness, disease, death, accident. We can live free of all that. We're supposed to live free of all that. But why don't we? Because Jesus says that you're justified by the words of your mouth. Justified means just as if you never sinned. Just as if you never sinned means you're living as if you're free of all sins and free of all the wages of sins. So how do we live justified? How do we live just as if we never sinned? How do we live free of all sins and free of all the wages of sins? By the words of our mouth. That's why when we hear the word of God, it's not enough to hear it. You have to hear it and do it. And do it involves the speaking. You got to hear it and speak it. It's the speaking and the doing that enables you to live just as if you never sinned. You must speak it and you must do it. So this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. The original meaning of the word meditate is like mutter. Mutter day and night, which sounds a lot like affirmations and or praying in tongues. That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. The success for a believer is in God. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in learning how to open the bank of heaven and receive everything that's been put there for you. Success for a believer is not doing it the way of the world. It's not doing it the way of mammon. It's doing it God's way. That's why in Psalm 1, God says, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He's walking in the counsel of God. So when we walk in the counsel of God, that all our ways are made successful and prosperous. So these steps lead up to success. But ongoing success, we don't want to hit success and then fail. What we want is ongoing success. The Israelites came out of slavery. They went through the wilderness by their own choice. And they went through the wilderness by their own choice because they created their own world by their words. 10 times they murmured against God and said, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. And finally God says, these 10 times have they murmured against me. And they'll have what they say. They'll all die off in the wilderness. And they all died off in the wilderness. But the time came when the younger generation came up. And Joshua and Caleb, the only two that said we could take the land when they first saw the promised land, were the only two that went over. Joshua and Caleb, whose words justified them, whose words brought them into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land with the younger generation. And they moved into a land of ongoing blessings. And they were blessed exceedingly until they turned their back on God. And when they rejected God's knowledge and God's guidance, then the nation of Israel would have challenges over and over. All that's there for foreshadowing for us, so we can learn from their examples. God doesn't want us to make the same mistakes. You're in the land of milk and honey. You can walk from blessing to blessing. All you have to do is keep doing it God's way. And our Lord Jesus Christ puts it this way in John 8, 31 and 32. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him. So he's talking to believers. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. So he's talking to the disciples. He's saying to the believers, you can choose to be a disciple. He's saying there are two kinds of Christians, two kinds of believers. There are all the believers who believe, and then there are the ones who choose to be disciples. Two kinds. Each person gets to make their own choice. How does a disciple become a disciple? By the strategic approach to success. The disciple is going to focus on knowledge, hearing, speaking, and doing it, and releasing their faith through the speaking and doing to move into a place of grace. That's what the disciple is going to do. And here's how Jesus put it. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So continuing in the word makes them disciples. Continuing in this pyramid of success, in these steps of success, makes them disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So who gets set free? The disciples get set free. Not all believers get set free. All believers are born again and they have a home in heaven. But on earth, they don't all get set free. The ones who get set free on earth from sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, and every other challenge of life are those who are disciples. And you can ask yourself right now, am I a disciple or not? Do I want to be a disciple? Have you ever considered the issue? See, so many believers I've met think disciples are the ones who followed Jesus in the early days of the church, the apostles and the disciples. But Jesus is saying, no, the disciple is the one who chooses to continue the word. And finally, as we walk in success day in, day out, we need to push that success to an even higher level. And we do that through praying and fasting. The toughest kind of problems are solved through fasting and prayer. The toughest kind of demons and spiritual warfare is dealt with prayer and fasting. So every believer who wants to walk in maximum success on an ongoing basis really should think about a lifestyle that's based on prayer and fasting. And I've said it before, and I'm sure I'll say it again. I do not believe believers can walk in a lifestyle of victory on an ongoing basis without regular fasting. So that is a strategic approach to success. You have a plan, and the plan to walk in success and victory is to keep growing in the knowledge of God's word, keep hearing more about it, which, by the way, involves going to church on a regular basis. For most people, that's where they hear about it. And then releasing your faith through hearing and doing it. You know, there are a lot of churches today that don't really focus on the gospel. They focus on more social aspects of the gospel. There are a lot of Bibles that are coming out today. They're called Bibles. And they're making dramatic changes to these Bibles. I mean, they're calling them Bibles. I mean, you know, one was flagged to my attention recently. I had heard about it, but not in such detail. Where they have removed from the Bible references to the Father and to the Son. So they replace Father by Allah, because this is the Bible being written and geared towards ministering to Arabs, Muslims. So they replace Father with Allah, and they replace the Son with the Messiah. So the Great Commission reads as, go and cleanse people with water in the name of Allah and of the Messiah Spirit. And that particular Bible is put out by one of the greatest Bible companies that has been around for decades. It's called Wycliffe. In Jamaican, it's called Wycliffe. I guess in American, it's called Wycliffe. Okay? The Cambodians were given a Bible recently, written in Cambodian, and they've rejected it. They said the Bible is taking out all salvation. So, take heed with what you hear. The most popular Bible in the world, I think it's the most popular Bible in the world, has taken out most of the references to spiritual warfare. References to demons, devils, and evil spirits are removed from the Bible. Considering this is the time when we need the most knowledge about demons, devils, and evil spirits, as we're going to the ending days, that's a dramatic thing to take out of the Bible. But all this comes through knowledge. And as we seek knowledge, God will give you understanding, wisdom, and revelation. Amen? Okay, so finishing up my summary, which was my second attempt at summarizing, seek knowledge. And as you seek knowledge, seek hearing more about God's word. As you seek knowledge and as you hear the word, release your faith to speaking and doing it. That brings God's grace into your life, which moves you to success as you continue to keep his word in your mouth. And you can go on to ongoing success by continuing to do that. But to really go up to peak levels and peak performances, you need to add to the mix fasting and prayer. Thank you very much for your rapt attention. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? I hope this is a blessing to some of you here and to the ones on the internet. I know the Lord wanted me to teach this, so I know some people wanted it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.